Most of the time I have a message done by Saturday night. You know, a few times the Lord has changed me up on Sunday morning, and this morning was one of those. I was just, usually when I get up, take my shower, I just spend a little time loving on the Lord. And it probably happens, I don't pay attention, and I'm sure it happens every day. You feel a warmth to the Lord, towards the Lord. You ever feel a warmth towards the Lord? And it just makes you say, God, I love you. And then when I said that to the Lord, I started thinking on that a little bit. It's like, why is it? Why do I have this warmth to the Lord? It isn't because he is mean to me. You know, it isn't because he expects and demands all of these things out of me. I have this warmth towards him because he's good to me. Just like when you develop relationships and friendships and marriages and you're good to one another, and it just makes you feel warm towards one another. So I had started a message, I don't know, a month or so ago about the love of God, and I couldn't quite finish it. I couldn't quite tag the thing, and I discarded it for another day. And so this morning when I was just thinking about this, about loving God, it kind of maybe brought that sermon out, and I ended up putting a conclusion on it. Now, if it gets a little bit jumbled, it's because I only did this in 2 hours, so didn't have time to, and I reviewed it a little bit during, sorry, John, oh, he's not here, but I reviewed it during Bible study, but, you know, the love that I felt for the Lord this morning wasn't a love because the Bible commands me to love God. It was a voluntary love. It was a love that just was there and came out. And I just thought, that's what I was thinking about. It's like, oh, I actually have this warmth for God. I don't even like really, never really like sat down with them. You know, like we do face to face. But I have this coming out of me, a warmth and a desire for God. So that's what changed my message this morning. But I realize it's just, you know, it's because God is good to us that this love and his warmth can flow out of us. So our text this morning is Romans 13, 8 through 10. And for my sister over there, Romans, not John 3:16, but Romans. She asked me if I would repeat the reference nice and loud, hard of hearing a little bit. So she wanted to remind me to make it clear, Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Amen? Get it? Praise God. Amen. She wants her references, and that's great, and that's awesome. Kenny, too. Praise God. Anybody else in your heart of hearing? Betty? I know, but it's because it's a program. It's a program we use, so they don't do that. But I suppose maybe we could develop one or something. But so I'm just going to have to remember to say it, Romans 13, 8 through 10. Anyways, they have these systems for the hearing impaired that you can put in your church, so maybe that's something we need to do. So it's another thing we can pray about and get in here. So Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, "Oh, no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying." I love that. Briefly. I mean, very simply wrapped up in this one little statement here, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Now, I can't remember if I prayed or not, so I'm going to now, Lord, I pray you bless this word that you gave me fresh this morning, Lord. Let it be fresh to every ear here in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not killing anyone does not mean you will obtain love. Just because you've never killed anybody doesn't mean that you are full of love. One reason people don't kill anybody is because we have a conscience against it. And another reason people don't kill other people when they'd like to is because they're afraid they're going to get caught and go to jail. But one thing you can be sure of, if a person does love, he never will murder anybody. Amen? That's why everything's fulfilled in that. This is so simple. If we could get that and comprehend it and let that happen in our life. Whenever we hear the word law, we can't help but think of restrictions like the speed limit. I just wish it was faster sometimes. I actually find, since it went up to 70, I actually find myself going a little slower all of a sudden. Maybe I'm not in a hurry. Maybe because of you're preaching to me, Penny. No. But it's a restriction to those that who want to drive fast. But if you stay in the limit, you keep the law. If you go past the limit, then you are a lawbreaker. And the Old Testament, we know, was filled with all kinds of laws. There were ceremonial laws, Sabbath laws, national laws, and laws that are even still in effect today called the moral law. The moral law is how you treat your fellow man. These laws in the Old Testament were often referred to as the law of Moses or the prophets. But see, this is how a lot of the world sees Christianity. They see it as a thou shalt not. I can't do anything that I like to do. I find myself as a Christian actually getting to do a lot of things I like to do. A lot of it is because God helped me like them things and made me, you know, like go to church. I used to go to church. I used to go to Mass. 27 years old before I got saved. I never liked doing it. I went. It was a thou shalt go to church. Now I get to go to church. Amen? So things change when our attitudes change. But it's how the world sees it. There's all these restrictions, and they don't see and understand the liberty that you and I have the privilege of walking in. But, you know, with that, they forget that the world's full of thou shalt not. Like if you want to keep your job, thou shalt not sleep in. Thou shalt not come to work late a lot of times. You can go to work late, but if you do too many times, you're going to lose your job. If you want to keep your marriage, thou shalt not build relationships with people of the opposite sex. If you want to keep your marriage, thou shalt not even go running with the boys, with the ladies, and renege on your responsibilities at home. If you want to own a house, you have some restrictions, some big ones. It's called a mortgage. And that mortgage takes a lot of your money. It's the biggest thing that goes out of your paycheck is your mortgage. And then on top of that, you have to pay taxes. And if you think you own your house, you need to think that over. Don't pay your taxes for a while and see if you'll keep your house. I think if the government really owns it, they don't pay for it, and you have to pay them for them to own it. But you know what? That never kept me from buying a house. I thought this is well worth it for me. I'm willing to put up with all of that bother. All of the hassle of, I was, you know, Mike, maybe you and I probably told you that because we talked a few times. I was a believer when this happened. I'd get 3 months behind on my house payments a few different times. And you know what? I was still faithful to the Lord. I always gave to him first. And I never did lose my house. And I think even if I would have lost my house, I would have still been faithful to the Lord. I don't think my being faithful to him had to do with me keeping my house. I think keeping my house had to do with me being faithful to him. But there's always no guarantee because he's always doing something in our life. But if you want a house, you got some restrictions, and most Americans are willing to face that. So even if there was some restrictions of being a Christian, I'll tell you, it's worth it. It is well worth it. I'm glad to quit doing this and quit doing that. If I get to enter into the kingdom of God and have a relationship with God Almighty. Laws in our society are intended to keep people from doing things that might harm themselves and others. Man has a hard time making up his mind. You can tell them that it's not by works you get into heaven, it's by grace. And they don't want to do that. And then when you say, well, you know, if you become a Christian, there's some responsibility. Well, they don't want that either. It's like, make up your mind. Do you want the works or not? You know? And people just refuse. What they're really refusing is Christ. What it really is there's pride built up in their heart. But there's another principle of law that applies to what I want to preach about today. It's a love that affects the hearts of people. When you obtain this love, it will influence you in the way you treat others. Like gravity, you throw something up, it will come down. The living demonstration of it, of a bad man that doesn't catch very good. But it works every single time you do it. It has to come down. So you could, in a sense, say gravity is always expressing itself. Always. The only way you can defy it is if you add some power to it. You put a motor, you know, a jet engine on it, and you can defy gravity. But if something left to itself, it'll always express yourself. You don't even have to believe in gravity. You don't even have to call it gravity. But one thing is certain, it will come down. And that's the kind of love I'm talking about that's just always going to react and always express himself. Before Newton never discovered the law of gravity, it was working whether he discovered it or not. Whether he believed in it or not, it was working. So there's a universal law put on the church, and that law is to love the Lord your God, number one, and to love your neighbor as yourself, number two, to love your enemies, to love your wives, love your husbands, love your children. And I'm not downplaying this love now that I've just mentioned, because I'm talking about a different kind of love. So I'm not canceling out that law of love that we are to love will always be with us as Christians. We always have to obey that. We always have to live that out in our life. But the heart of this message is a love that is called phileo love. Okay? If you look in your concordance, you'll see, is that getting cold?
Yeah.
Is it? Go ahead. You can turn it off if you want. What? The ladies are cold. That's a good air conditioning unit, ain't it? Praise God. Usually you get with all your body heat and you guys get all fired up for God, the heat starts warming up. So let's see. Now I got to recover from my wife distracting me. She can distract me anytime she wants. Yep. That's phileo love. But this phileo love is a brotherly love. But even more, it's an affectionate love. Not the kind of affection that a husband and wife have, but a kind of affection, you know, you can have for your children, you can have for your parents. Can have for your relation, you have towards people, your friends, your church family. Again, you don't see this phileo love that much in the Bible. Most of the time you see agape or agape love, an unconditional love. So it is a love that may have been developed by practicing the command to love one another. It has to have a starting place, and it is when we set our hearts to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And as we do that, this other phileo love starts developing in us. It's this love of a warm feeling towards others. And that's the warm feeling I had for the Lord this morning. I didn't always have that when I was a young believer. I knew there was an element of love. Why? Because if you love him, you will obey him. Right? That's an active love that I had to make up my mind to do. But the love I'm talking about is now something that's starting to naturally come out of me, a warmth towards God. So when you have this type of love, you can come under the control of this love. Just as gravity expresses itself, this love will constantly express itself. When this love is birthed in your heart, when this love dominates your heart, that's when it will express itself regularly. And I believe that is the reason God created man to begin with, because he had a warmth that he wanted to shed, and he on something or whatever, and he got this brilliant idea to create you and me. That was a good idea, huh? When he decided to make us. But the way the church fellowships, and I didn't even realize this when I was putting this together. Oh, today's Fellowship Sunday. You know, we're going to all go down and fellowship and have a warmth towards one another. So the way a church fellowships really detects if this church has love in it of this sort, of this. You know, we can put up with one another, right? Because I'm commanded to love you. No matter how you treat me, I can put up with you. No matter how I treat you, you can put up with me. But this phileo love is something that flows, a warmth toward one another. And we can see that in fellowship. Of course, we go through stages of it, of maturity. We grow in it. And, you know, we're just starting to experience a little bit to something where it can just be regular. Like when every time Joy looks at me, she just like gets overwhelmed how much she loves me. All the time. She just can't help it. But again, there's stages of it, but love will be the chief thing that will happen as a fellowship flourishes. Agapeo love or agape love will insist you love someone who is mean to you. We're even told to love those who persecute you. The Spirit of Christ will help you do that, so you can never say, I can't do that, because the Spirit of Christ, through His love, God is love, will help you to do that if you are determined to do that. Phileo love causes you just to have this warmth that just flows out of you towards those who have a kindred spirit. It's really hard for that phileo love to rise up when someone's being mean to you. You don't feel like, just keep on persecuting me. Oh, it's just flowing. You know, who really feels that? But you can have the agape or agapeo love toward them, okay? So love is always has to be supreme in our life. Now, this principle of phileo love, the early church experienced, and I really love what it did. And it's in Acts chapter 2, 46 through 47. Acts 2, 46 through, actually, you can see it right there. Did you just get it to do that? Okay, there we go. Praise God. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Maybe that's one of the things that's missing in the modern day church, having this phileo love where there's such a warmth toward one another that people are so attracted to it. And the Lord adds to the church daily those that would be saved because they're coming. They're coming and looking for that thing that's been so missing in their life, and it's love and warmth. And, you know, a lot of churches, they're fighting over this and fighting over that. And the person in the world says, well, you know, I have enough fights already with my own family. I don't need to join another one. You know, I already belong to a club, and all we do is argue about this, and I don't need to join another club. You know, but if this love would flow, people could come in and actually be arrested by it. And then from there, they'd have to decide if that's what they want. But this scripture is such a beautiful commentary of the early century church and this true love for God that they had and this true love for their fellow man. You can see the order. It started that they had a singleness of heart. It wasn't all kinds of people with all their different thinkings, learning to agree, to disagree and all that, but they had a singleness in heart. It was real. It was genuine. They had they were taught and they were discipled well, and they came together, and then it says they were praising God first. Always got to be about God first. And then you can see that the effect it had on the people. It caused them to get into this in the spirit of fellowship, and it caused them to have favor with all people because they saw the love that flowed from these people. There's even a scripture that says they could know them by the love they had one for another. Today, you can tell the church by their hate they have one for another sometimes. What you see here is the effect of the law of love, Notice that it isn't the law that you keep to obtain something, but it is the effect of the law being realized in our. What I'm saying about it is like, okay, I got to remind myself I'm to love. I got to make sure I love today in this fellowship. You know, we need to put a scripture up on the wall to remind ourselves, I'm going to get ready to walk down to fellowship, so I'm going to start practicing my love. No, it's just something that draws you down and it just like comes out of you. It just flows out of you. Again, just as you throw something up, it'll come back down. When you have this love in you, it can't help for it to come and flow out of you when you are with the brethren. It makes people enjoyable. This love will make you enjoy one another and all of our differences. You know, people, the birds of a feather flock together. That may be true. But you know, when you have this kind of love in you, you start loving all of the differences about us and all the interests and all of the different things that make us. You know, sometimes it's, people think their value is in their abilities and their talents and all of these different things. And so many times I want to say to people, you know what? I just love you for who you are. Don't be anybody else. I like you as you. You can do you better than anybody in the whole world. And it's just, this is how I feel towards you. I have that warmth toward them. Of course, when they do nice things and all that, it probably builds that. But you know, hate also expresses itself. It causes you to have bad feelings towards others. That hate is what makes you want to kill others. It makes you want to harm people. Like those mortars that Hamas is always shooting over the border of Israel, trying to kill Israelites. Simply, it's motivated by hate. I was rollerblading on the Oak Leaf Trail over here in Franklin. I just passed Drexel and going down, and I saw a lady with the towel on her head and her husband. So I went zipping by him, and I'm like, get down to the end. I go, Lord, if those Muslims, which I assume they were, are still out there, if they're still there, Lord, you give me something, I'm going to say, talk to them. So there they were as I'm coming back. So I slowed down in my rollerblades. Got next to them, go, hey, are you Muslims? They go, oh, yes. And they go, can I ask you some questions? So, sure. So I started engaging in a conversation with them. And, you know, I says, what did Allah do for your sins? And they, well, you know, if we're good enough, he'll forgive us. And then now that I'm talking, I says, now I'm going to tell you what Jesus did for our sins. You know, and everything was going fine. And I mentioned something about the Jews. And the wife almost had to calm her husband down. You know what happened? I tripped something that was in him. A hatred. He didn't have to say, like, what should I do when someone mentions the Jews? Oh, I'm supposed to get mad at them. Oh, why did you bring that? You know? No, it just came out of him. He couldn't help. Hate couldn't help, but erupt out of him. So if hate can do that, and we see what has happened to a world, with this kind of hate, how much more if we can have this phileo love erupt out of us toward one another? I believe it's possible. I know it's possible. Here's what I'm so excited to share. The Lord gave me insight on this, I believe, this morning. And it's this great discourse. Let's see what you think about it as I share what I believe the Lord. You know, you might say, oh, I already knew that, Pastor. Like, oh, you might be stretching a little bit here. But this is the great discourse that Jesus had with Peter, fishing. You know, hey, this is after Jesus rose from the dead, the last chapter of John, chapter 21. And they're out there fishing. Throw your net in the other side, and they get that big draft of, you know, net full of fish. And, it's the Lord. And they come in, and Jesus has fish come and dine. He's got fish on the fire, and then they're sitting there talking, and it's John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. There, that's James. Maybe I didn't get that one on. There we go. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So here's what's really interesting about this portion of scripture. If you look them up in your coordinates, there's several words that we translate as love. Agapeo, agape, brotherly love is Philadelphia, and there's phileo love, there's eros love. I'm talking about phileo love. But when Jesus first asked Peter, if you love me, you know what he said? Peter, do you agapeo me? And here's what Peter said. Yes, Lord, I phileo you. I never could figure this out. I've heard preachers say stuff, but I couldn't quite get what they were saying. I don't know if they did either, or if they were saying this, and I didn't get it. But anyways, so then the second time, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you agapeo me? And Peter says, Lord, you know, I phileo you. And then the third time, this is really confusing, Jesus goes, Peter, do you phileo me? And then Peter says back, he's a little bit frustrated, Lord, you know all things, you know that I phileo you. So I used to think the greatest love is agape love, unconditional love. You know what unconditional love is? No matter, it doesn't take, love has nothing to do with the person you're loving and how they treat you, if they love you or not, if they're good to you, if they're bad to you, has nothing to do with it. I unconditionally love you like you have a, if you have a son or daughter that goes, just goes bad, turns bad, becomes a murderer and a thief, your heart might still love them even though they deserve to go to jail. They deserve a death sentence. But it doesn't matter how they are towards you. You just can't. You just love them, okay? And so that's what an unconditional love. And we always preach that, and maybe rightfully so. It's the greatest love you can have. It has nothing to do with other. But I think I might have changed my mind a little bit today, because I'm going to paraphrase it. Here's how I see this discourse. Peter, do you agapeo me? Wait, I got to see how I said that. Okay. Hold on here for a second. I must have erased that or something. So I got to remember. But Peter, do you, yeah, okay, now I got it. Peter, do you agapeo me? And he goes, Lord, I love you more than that. I phileo you. And he goes, Peter, do you agapeo me? And he goes, Lord, you know, I'm more than that. I phileo you. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? Because that's really what Jesus wanted from Peter. He wanted the warmth. He wanted Peter to love him more than just he's the master, he's the Lord, I'm going to keep his commands, I'm going to do, and I'm not downplaying none of that, but he wants more than that from Peter. Like Joy, her and I one time were just boyfriend and girlfriend, but there's one day I wanted her as my wife. So one day we're saying we love each other back and forth to each other. And this is what ultimately Jesus wanted from Peter. He says, Peter, and then he finally got, you know, then he finally said to Peter at the end, Peter, do you phileo me? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I hope that ministered to you like it did to me this morning. That actually really excited me. So, again, Peter was just saying, Lord, I'm more than agapeo you. I phileo you. I have just a warm affection for you. I just don't want you to be my Lord. I just don't want you to be my master. I just don't want you to be my God. I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my bosom buddy. I just want to be connected with you, God, in every way that I can. You know, when Paul was in Miletus, he called for the elders who were in Ephesus to come to him. He exhorted them. He told them even this, that chains and tribulation await him in Jerusalem. He says, it's, you know, my future is, you know, it's just about upon me. I'm going to go and face, you know, the religious leaders. And it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 36 and 38. Acts 20, 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Can you remember? He told them what was going to happen to him. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they could see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. You know what caused this reaction? Their love, the phileo love that they had for Paul. They had an affection for Paul. They had a warmth for Paul. You don't even see the word love mentioned in there, but you can certainly see love expressed in that portion of Scripture. Every time I read that, I was thinking, this is the kind of love the church needs for one another. You know, or we would weep on each other's neck if we knew we couldn't see each other again. And it's a love that just comes out of us. Of course, some Christians will look at that portion of Scripture and outline all kinds of principles that you can do and miss the whole thing. This filial love that's just flowing out of that verse, I think. So as I reflected this morning, the reason I have this warmth for God, why I have this phileo love for God, is because he is good to me. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, I always fear preaching messages like this so that people don't think I'm like some seeker-sensitive guy preaching love, but I'm preaching about the kind of love we're supposed to have. Amen? But what I like about this scripture is God is called the Father of lights. And that word lights is really referring to sun rays. When you're a kid, you ever draw a little picture? You draw a picture and you drew that little in the corner and then you draw all those rays coming down, you know, and then the sun rays. I think about that. That's how God is towards us. It's just not like one little beam. He has these rays coming from him from all over the place and everywhere and everything, all kinds of blessings and all kinds of promises that he's just flooding on us. It's a shame that we often don't realize that. Even when things aren't going good, I can promise you there's always something you can be extremely grateful for. In the midst of your worst trials, there's so many things that you can thank God for, and you can't help but say, I'm going through the most miserable time in my life, but God, I sure know you love me. I sure know you are so good to me. I can't help but have a warmth for you. In fact, I even feel it stronger for some reason when things aren't going good, you know? It's just, that's how it works. But I've learned that he continually pours out his love. And as I sat there this morning and just said, God, I love you. And I took a moment to think about that. It's like, how could I not love him? He's so good. And that phileo love just built up and build up. And the more it builds up in you, the more you'll be starting off. You'll wake up in the morning and in bed, and the first thing you'll do is like, God, I love you. You don't even know why. You just, you know, all of a sudden you just have this warmth for God build up. Again, as much as I've railed against the seeker-sensitive message of love and has spoken against universalism, you know what universalism is? It's that God loves everybody and will send nobody to hell. That's what universalism is. That's what everybody likes to believe. It's a shame that we have Christian leaders, preachers, that start believing in that stuff. He does love you enough to save anybody that will want to be saved. Amen? I guess he doesn't know us much more than that. But this, the truth is that God is constantly pouring his goodness on us. And that is what causes us to have this phileo love for him. I have insisted that we live out unconditional love. You can do this no matter how people are to you. And I commend all of you that practice unconditional love. And some of you may have even mastered it. You can. Master unconditional love. But for phileo love to work, it does take a cooperation for it to really work in a fellowship. You can have a warmth towards someone that may not necessarily have a warmth for you. But if we're going to have a corporate love of this magnitude, this has to be something that's flowing in all of us toward one another. Because phileo love is reciprocated. As I'm warm towards you, you're warm towards me. And that's what catches the attention of the world. That's what draws people to the Lord. Not one guy being the Mr. Love guy or one lady being the Mr. Love lady and everybody's a scoundrel and cantankerous, but that there's this love that just flows in beautiful unity and fellowship in the body of Christ. You can have unconditional love for someone, no doubt, and not have affectionate love for that person, but that can grow. But if you want someone to affectionately love you, then you have to practice goodness toward them. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. I'm going to read it the New King James, but the King James is up on there. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, that's the brotherly love, love one another fervently. I believe that when you love one another fervently, that's when the agapeo love turns into phileo love. That's when it really starts getting fervent. That's when it really starts heating up toward one another, when there's affections back and forth. You know, greeting. I would have never thought growing up. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd always kiss my dad goodbye when he'd go to work. And one day he says, oh, we're too old for that now, and we never kissed again, you know. So I would never thought there'd be a time I'd come and actually hug guys. But I have an affection now, a right affection, a good affection, a hug a brother. Brother, I'm glad to see you. Why? Because phileo love gets me out. I can't help it. Just like, it's what you do, you know. And this is what we are to have for one another. For me to agapeo you does not require your participation. For you to agapeo me does not require my participation. But if we're going to have phileo love, it requires all of our participation. Amen. If you don't have this kind of love that I'm talking about, number one, if you don't have it for God, because I don't know when I started feeling this, I couldn't tell you. I don't know if I did right from the beginning. I don't think I did. But if you have not experienced this love yet, I want to encourage you. You just keep on pressing in. You just keep on loving the Lord with obedience, staying faithful to the things you need to do, and you will be able to start experiencing this warmth where you're like actually look to heaven. You lift your heart to heaven. And you don't have to have a mouthful of words. You're just like, God, I love you. Doesn't go any farther than that. You don't even know what more to say. God, I just love you. I probably maybe say that 20 or 30 times a day for all I know. You may too. I don't know. But if you don't have that, you will get it. Or the other thing is you're not born again and you don't have any idea what it is to love God. So we must practice goodness on each other, and we must have concern for each other. As you set your mind to love God, you will grow more affectionate toward Him. And as you become more affectionate toward Him, that affection will start reaching out of you toward others. Isn't that awesome? Then we will experience the gladness of heart that flows. That's one of the things I've discovered about people that love each other. There's all kinds of laughing going on. Don't get this idea that the people that really love God, that they're sober-faced and they never crack a smile and they're always so serious. Every man of God that I know can joke around. Every man God I know has fun. Every man God I know, I was telling the brother Manfred over here, it says, we take God serious, but, you know, people, you know, we get offended too easy. People do. Like we're something high and mighty. You know, let's take God serious and let's just, you know, be warm and let's just, you know, certainly God will come up in our conversations, no doubt. But it's that gladness of heart that comes out. I was at the old church yesterday morning. Pastor Paul started a a group for senior pastors, and he's telling me, I was really glad to hear it, and he's telling me that every Sunday, the Lord has just blessed them. They have a fellowship every Sunday after church. They just have like sandwiches and chips. He says a lady in their church just loves doing it. She just prepares every Sunday, and he says, it reminds me of our church, because he says that they get done about 11:30 or something like that. He says sometimes they're at 1:30 just hanging around. And I said to him, I says, no, that's a sign of a good church, people that love. Of course, you can do that and not even be saved, you know. There's all kinds of families that rejoice and get along. But this is something that the early church experiences, gladness of heart. And it'll follow and it'll flow from those that have this phileo love toward one another. So with that, I'm just going to pray. Lord, teach us this phileo love, God. Let it be just something so established in us. Lord, we just can't help but to express it, Lord. It just can't help but to come out when we gather, Lord. I pray you build this fellowship of believers, Lord. Even more sincere, Lord. Even more loving, God. Even more devoted to you, God. Hallelujah. Let gladness of heart just flow from us. Not some kind of phony thing, but Lord, just that flows from knowing being loved, Lord. And that we love others and have a warmth toward one another and affection toward one another, Lord. Bring us to this place, oh God. The same thing you wanted from Peter, that phileo love. Hallelujah. God, so we just ask you, Lord, now to bless our fellowship downstairs. Let our conversations honor you, Lord. We ask you to bless the food and to bless the drink, Lord. Let it bring health to our bodies, Lord. Let us be mindful of one another, Lord, and respectful of one another as we eat, Lord, and as we stand in line and prefer one another, Lord. And we just ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.